Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifieds, World of Outlaws, Arcas, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in here tonight, live on Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior here in the studio. Hope you're having a spectacular weekend. How about that for a weekend of racing, Junior? On the short tracks, NASCAR, on the road courses. Man, what a weekend.
It was, for sure. It was a tough weekend for me, out at Sauble Speedway there.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little bit of difficulties with both cars that I was working with, but had a lot of fun regardless. It was really cool to see the Sauble Shuffle come back at Sauble Speedway.
Nice.
Full grandstands and full parking lot full of campers. Not enough room for vehicles to park. That's a good problem to have at a racetrack on a Saturday night. And, the Beat the Heat 100, sponsored by Spira, was awesome. It was a good show.
Sounds like 27 cars deep.
Yeah, 27 good cars, too. Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. There was, the names from all across Ontario were there. And it was definitely a great show. The fans, I can't call it a great show because the drivers kind of stepped on their peepees a little bit. The drivers decided that they wanted to tear up more equipment than to race it. But good show, good atmosphere around the event, all in all. The APC series did a great job, with the event itself. But the drivers definitely they had one of those full moon type of nights. They wanted to root and gouge, and it was good short track racing.
I've never ever seen it where the officials of a speedway or a series, for that fact, I haven't seen those guys ever wreck a car. It's always the guys behind the wheel that have the potential of, wrecking some equipment or, turning it into one of those historic, right down to the line sort of moments. All of that really is in the capable hands of the guys that are behind the wheel. The officials are merely there to try and keep order and peace after something takes place. But kind of cool to see that they had 27 cars, the APC series. Here in Ontario is really lighting it up again this year, doing a great job.
Yeah, definitely. The battle at the end, it was great to watch between J.R. Fitzpatrick and Matt Pertigo. The front half of the field just seemed to have troubles. Mm-hmm. And not saying that Pertigo wasn't on rails at the end, because that 21 car was a rocket ship. But JR struggled for speed basically the entire night. But, for really the first time that I've watched JR, with a little bit of a slower car, he's the type of guy that can go out there with a eighth place car and drive it to second.
Right.
And take what it is and take what he can get, and then go overboard and take more than that,
Mm-hmm.
But still maintain it or get himself into trouble. This night here, he was the cautious guy, points racer, old guy. That's the best way that I can describe it.
He
kept the fenders on it. He took exactly, what the car would give him, didn't put himself into any precarious positions. And lo and behold, he comes home second place. Just a great showing, a great effort by JR. The nine car who set fast time and ran fast, he had big troubles along with the 81 car and the 47 car and a bunch of the other ones, and then as well the 29 of Ryan Kimble, who really led the majority of the race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he led 75 laps. He probably led another 110 laps under yellow, but the 29 car ended up getting a flat, you know, and having to come to pit road and get that change. So,
I hate it when
so
that happens.
Really, it put JR and Matt Pertigo and as well Jake Sheridan, who, by the way, drove the race of his life. Never seen the place. He ran into a little bit of trouble early on in the race and got turned around, but drove his way back up, kept patient, and finished without a mark on the car.
Sounds like his dad, Ron Sheridan, if you ask me. That 52 guy, I used to love watching Ron Sheridan roll into Sauble Beach, and he'd do that on the special events. Ronnie'd tow up from the London area, and he'd go out there and either win the race or finish second.
Yep.
And he did it based on consistency, keeping the nose on the car, and just driving. Sounds
absolutely
like his son is just like his dad.
He is. He's a lot like him. And Mr. Consistency, man, he's been on the podium here the last couple of weeks. So he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, leading the point series right now in the for the rookie battle in the APC Tour. He had a great race and turned a lot of heads out there. Obviously, it was a little bit of a race of attrition. You know, they knocked a solid 8 cars out with a wreck earlier and early on in the race. A majority of them could continue, but they lost track position. And then as well, the big one happened on the front straightaway. There was 2 red flags in a 100-lap race.
Wow.
So that goes to show you the type of carnage that we've seen. But definitely a great showing by J.R. Fitzpatrick. I can't say that enough because if the race went green to checkered like it did last year, that boy was in trouble. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he was having a break issue or he was losing grip somewhere somehow. Don't know whether it was dragging the racetrack or what, but he was having troubles and true to his word, we talked to him here on Racetime Radio a couple weeks back, and he said, you know, here from here on out, we just have to be the smart guys, right? They have to maintain that gap in the points, and they didn't just maintain it, they grew it by a ton, and I got to take my hat off to him. As well, I was spotting for Trayton Lapcevich, who was second into points. They dropped the green flag, and we started 14th, and we got him down right away going into turn one, and he went into turn two, into turn three down the back straightaway. Made a look inside the 18 car, as soon as he went to the brake pedal, it sheared the brake bias adjuster off. Underneath
man.
The pedal,
man, and when don't it, want that to
when
happen.
It shears that bolt off, what happened was it got pinned behind the brake pedal, and it ended up breaking the braking system right off the front of the panel. So it was a tough break for the kid. Did a masterful job though, saving the car. I know he caused a little bit of damage to the 46 car coming back across the track in front of the entire field, but there was absolutely nothing he could do. He was along for the ride, but he saved the car. A lot of guys in that position, you go to the brake pedal and that thing's going straight through the fence.
Could have been.
He had the peace of mind to cut it to the left, put it in the infield a little bit and go for a slide and a controlled slide at that. So just hats off to him he rode around had the toughest night of his life just driving around avoiding stuff. But it was a great night overall. I know everybody was pretty hard on the drivers after just saying, what the hell were you guys doing? But it'll be really interesting to see a couple of videos from that. I hearing through the grapevine that there was some really good video captures for the APC race recap,
right.
Which haven't came out yet. There was one big incident across the front that it was controversial for a lot of people.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to look back.
Well, and that's the thing, right? You get the advantage of looking at a videotape after the fact, but when officials are calling races...
No, the officials called it right.
They did.
Yes,
they called it right.
Called it
well,
right.
And that's good. That's good when it all comes together. But listen, let me tell you who we got coming on the program tonight. What a stellar lineup we've got here. P.D. Shepherd, we spoke with P.D. back at the beginning of 2018. It was somewhere around January, February, somewhere around there. And we got P.D. coming back on the program tonight. He is coming off a NASCAR Xfinity ride.
Yeah.
He drove the 55 last weekend. Had a great time. At least I believe he did. And we're going to catch up with PD tonight to talk to him about that. He's also got some big news. He's going to be a busy guy here over the next couple weeks. And this is really going to excite a lot of race fans to hear what PD's got to say tonight. So we've got PD Shepherd coming on the show. We will talk about the APC race some more, the Beat the Heat 100 from Sauble Speedway. We've got the winner of the race, the number 21, Matt Perdigo, is going to join us here tonight live. We'll also talk about the Pro Stock Tour, of course. They went out to PEI for the second race of the season, the second and final race for PEI to see the parts for Trucks Tour. And it was Cole Butcher, the number 53, going to Victory Lane. So we're going to check in with Cole tonight. And just recently here, I threw a little text out to Mr. Cole Powell. And, of course, Cole won his first NASCAR Pindies race back at White Speedway in Saskatoon. What was that? That was a week ago Wednesday.
Yep.
But we haven't had a chance to talk to those guys yet. So I've reached out to Cole, and I believe we got an answer. So we may even hear from Cole Powell here tonight on the show.
That's great.
We'll also open the phone lines and take your calls. So that's what we got coming at you. We got a lot coming at you, I might add. And I've got some news that I got to tell everybody. You'll remember the last time we were on the air, which was not last week. We were tied up last week. It was a week before. And I had mentioned that I had something going on with, you know, my voice and my throat and so on. I've had testing now. Got all the tests all complete. I was in London on Thursday. Was it Thursday or Friday? Can't remember. One of those days this week. And I met with the ENT surgeon. And sure enough, I got the results back. And I have a cancerous mass under my tongue. So it is cancer. I've got it. The good part is the type of cancer that I've got is definitely treatable and curable. They gave me like a 95% chance of having it all cleared off with radiation and potentially chemo treatments. And so that is what's going on there. So what's it all mean for Racetime Radio and how are things going to work? In a nutshell, we're hoping that's not going to have any effect whatsoever. The live races that we do, and we've got three more big live races coming up as soon as next weekend. We got the Tourmont Cat 250 coming up from Scotia Speed World. And the broadcast crew's all set. They're going to be doing their thing. I will head off to Eastbound International Speedway to go out there for a couple more races. And then, you know, I'm going to start my treatments starting September the 4th. And we'll get into those treatments. And I don't know what to expect. I expect I'm going to have a fight on my hands, of course, to, you know, take the treatments and we'll see how I make out. Supposedly my voice could get pretty raspy and it may be too difficult to talk for 2 hours on Racetime Radio. So I tell you what, we're going to do whatever we humanly can. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to, you know, slow down at all. I'm going to try and keep my foot to the floor, but that's my intention. We'll see what we'll see what actually transpires. If by chance things get really tough and I can't talk for a couple of weeks or a week or whatever, then Racetime Radio will get put on hold until such time as I can jump back on here, be comfortable, and get back to it. But I can tell you, I promise you that everything that we can do, we are going to be doing to try and get you the coverage that absolutely everybody loves hearing on Racetime Radio. And Junior, you and I are going to forge our way through this.
That's right. That's right. And you got to fight on your hands, but you can take it. And, you know, not even cancer can keep you away from the racetrack for the first couple weeks here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're still going to dig right through it. And cool outpouring of support and stuff, you know, on Facebook and stuff yesterday.
Just, unbelievable.
It's definitely cool. And I think it'll be a lot of, you know, we're all here for you.
Yep. Yep. And trust me, I feel it. I feel it from absolutely everybody. And my intention is to get things really working well, and they are working great. We've got a great staff at Eastbound International Speedway, but I got to face reality too. And when those treatments
100%.
Start, it's probably going to be virtually impossible for me to be going, you know, back and forth across the country like I've been doing for the last couple of years. So keeping it real and doing whatever I can to, you know, make sure that everything is covered off. I got a plan for Eastbound International Speedway that's going to work, and it's going to work like magic. And it's because we got good people in the right spots. And same thing with the live broadcast. Like,
that's, man, right.
I got Josh and Jerry and Brad Mann and Tim Terry. And we'll probably have Dylan, a new guy, come on with us. So, yeah, we're going to be covered off.
That's
race
right.
fans will be in good shape. And we should have no issues that way. But
that's right.
I'm looking forward to absolutely getting this taken care of. This has been bothering me now for a couple of months, but it becomes more predominant. Today actually is a really good day for me, and I think everybody can understand what I'm saying this time. That's awesome.
That's a good thing,
yeah,
right?
It is.
When one big thing is, you know, just obviously get out there and get yourself checked. Right?
Oh,
it's don't leave it. And, you know, I got to give a big hats off just as a family guy here. But the London Health Services team, they did a masterful job, you know, kind of working you right through up
yes.
to this point. And
absolutely.
Just a, you know, they've been very supportive. So it'll be good to get this, get through it you know, battle it out.
Well, I'll tell you, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago when I initially sat down and got the prognosis without having the results of any testing, they painted a very, very black picture. And I'll tell you what, I was some scared.
Absolutely.
Not the words you want to hear from, you know, from a surgeon, from a doctor in high places. And I'm just so, I thank God that it's going to turn out the way that it's turning out right now. And the type of cancer that I've got is fixable. It's not going to require any surgery. It's all going to be done through radiation and chemotherapy. So touch wood. We're going to fight our way through this. And who knows, man? All you can do is try, right?
That's right.
That's it. And that's what we're going to do.
That's right.
And that's all we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about racing. That's what we're here for tonight. We're going to hit a quick break. And when we come back off this break, we're going to have P.D. Shepherd with us live tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. He's coming off of that big race in Iowa. He was in the NASCAR Xfinity Series in the 55, and it isn't just that we're going to talk about tonight. He's got a bunch of plans that are all coming together that are going to affect a lot of different race fans, and you want to stick around for this one. P.D. Shepherd on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Race Time Radio is just getting started.
You want to talk dirt racing, we got the dirt guy.
All right.
How dirty can we get?
I'm Pete Becknell from Merrittville Speedway, and you're listening to Race Line Go.
I knew I'd do that. Is this a test?
Hi, I'm Pete Becknell from Merrittville Speedway, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
All right. Doing the best you can. Well, it's all.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Join us Saturday, August 11th at 5 p.m. Eastern.
It's the 19th annual
Tourmont Cat 250 Under the Lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
And Dylan Blankhorn is pulling out all the stops. There's no saving anything anymore.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
I think the spotter said, show me what you got. We're seeing it now.
The claws will come out for the Tourmont Cat 250. It's live, flag-to-flag coverage worldwide at racetimeradio.com.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the first ever NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Baseball. Baseball. Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I'm so excited to get to this hotline. What do you say we do that, Junior? We bring up guest number one. He's coming off a big weekend at Iowa. He was in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and we got him on the hotline. We got Petey Shepherd with us. Petey, what's happening? How you doing? Petey, did I hit the right button? Okay, tell you what. I'm going to go like this, and I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try that again. Petey, have I got you?
Hey, Petey, can you hear me?
Okay, we haven't got no Petey there. I'm going to try it one more time. No, okay, Petey is definitely not on that line. Probably didn't know what was going on there. So Sue is out there. She'll grab Petey, and we'll get him back on the hotline, and we will definitely be able to talk to Petey about some exciting news, Junior.
Yeah, definitely some big news coming out of that camp. And obviously, he's had a decent season so far in the NASCAR Pinty Series as well. He's ran a couple of starts for Dave Jacombs in the 79 car. And then as well, he's ran with the VRX team over at the Honda Indy Toronto. So he's got a ton of good news coming up.
Yeah, he sure does. And by the sounds of it, we got him. Petey, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Our phone lines have been messed up here for like a couple of months, and it bit us once again. But good to hear we got everything hooked up. You're coming off a big weekend, man, at Iowa. How was that for NASCAR Xfinity Racing?
Yeah, it was kind of a heat of the moment decision there. We got a call last second, and the amount of things you have to do to make that happen now is a lot different than it was even 10 years ago. So they have the drug test you have to go through, the impact test. So finally got approved about a half hour before we got into Iowa, and I was ready to go for the weekend. It was a crazy circumstance.
Oh, that's good.
Petey, for fans that may be new fans to Pete Shepherd, and let's fill them in a wee bit here. You're a crafty veteran, not only here in Canada, of course, in the NASCAR Pinty Series, but you really did, you spent some time down south. You were right on Jack Roush's team for a while there.
Yeah, no, it was a great opportunity years ago. Thanks to the reality TV show, actually, I got a lot of races in the truck series with them and some ARCA races and gained a lot of valuable experience. And just the track time and the car control you gain racing and on those big tracks with great teams like that, it's invaluable. So, I mean, coming back and being able to do it again, I felt like I was out of the seat in a long time. And I was not a big track by any means, but it drives like a speedway. So it took me a long time without testing even to, you know, get up to where I thought I was running okay for what the car can do. Obviously, the result wasn't there, but it was definitely an awesome experience.
Yeah, and it would have been somewhat been a little bit like old home week, right? You probably seen a lot of friends that you hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, we camped right across. We were in the infield there, and Justin Allgaier, he has our view with us, so good to catch up with him. He's still an awesome guy, very down to earth. Talking about our time we spent together in ARCA and stuff down south. So we had some good conversations. Remet a lot of old friends, so it was excellent.
Yeah, good stuff. Man, it's been quite a season for you so far, Pete. I know there's been a lot of adjustments and changes, and you've got lots of seat time in. Take us through the season so far. How's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been exciting. I mean, it's been odd in the sense of my performance. You know, it's not the way we want to really perform. We're not exactly where we want to be yet. And, you know, I put a lot of that on my shoulders, too, just getting reused to things. When I left the series 5 years ago, we ran a pretty conventional setup. So we're trying some stuff in the front end that, you know, I'm not used to. And I think the equipment's there. Dave Jacobs gets excellent race cars, you know, every week in and week out. And it's just a matter of getting things together. I think we'll get there. I know we will. But, we have to. So, you know, we're just picking it piece by piece. We're doing some testing this week, and I think that we'll get stronger as it goes on.
Well, just as long as your testing goes better than lap one of practice at the Toronto Indy, then we're good, right?
Yeah, I try to forget about that. You're supposed to leave out in the rear-view mirror.
No, 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 no. Nobody can let you forget about that one. That was I've never seen Petey make a mistake. Like, I've seen him make a mistake on the racetrack where he gets loose or he gets tight or something, you know. I've seen him make that type of mistake, but we were walking to the driver's meeting after, you know, it was the next day, Petey just said, I drove out, and he's like, I thought I had grip, and all of a sudden I didn't.
at that place, I mean, it'll get you in a hurry. There's no runoff space at all, right?
So absolutely.
We came up behind the 74 car, and he's obviously always a fast car there, and I tried to follow him, and I did a good job, I thought, for three quarters of a lap, and where their S's, they used to be S's, like at the Indy there. I think it's like 9, 10, and 11. It was more of a sweeping S corner, and that's the way I remember it from back in 2005. That's how long ago it was. But it turns out turn 11 isn't really an S anymore. You got to woe it down and kind of set it and turn it, and I didn't know that, and I just rolled it right up and knocked the rear end of the car. Just a bad choice by myself there.
Well, if they move the walls at a certain racetrack, we'll be sure to let you know.
Well, I moved it for them. They made sure they told me that. So.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Well, Petey, I got to admit here, you did just blow my mind when you said you've been out of the series for 5 years. It's amazing how time flies, I'll tell you, because it felt like, you know, maybe you were out for a year, maybe two, but 5 years, man, time's flying.
It does, yeah. I mean, looking back, it's just crazy. Like I said, the things that have changed even in those cars, and just the competition level is always getting stronger and stronger. You look back in the era with, Thompson and Gibbons and all those guys, Al Turner even, how strong they always were. And you see the names now, and you may not recognize them as much because of how big the series was back in the days. But you look at them, and they're just, everyone's so good. Like, everyone's on point. Hard to compete with the Steckley cars, and even our stuff's strong. Like I said, I just gotta get a little better with it. But Cole Powell is a rookie. He's won a race. He's been really strong. And it's just, there's elite competition. There's, you know, you get 15 or 16 cars, but there's some nights there's 13 and they could win the race. So it's never easy, that's for sure.
No, and that is, you know, one of those big points from maybe the 5 years. Back 5 years ago, there could have been like three or four of you guys that could go out and win the race on a given time. Now, like you say, you got like 10, 12, even more that could potentially win the race. You miss it by a tenth of a second here, it's going to look like a mile.
It is, yeah, and that tenth of a second every lap, that doesn't take long, especially in a 300-lap race, to create a lot of distance between yourself and the lead pack. And, I mean, like I said, for us, we're happy to get more competitive. Before we even think about challenging for a win, we got to get in that mix to where we're even slicing and dicing with some of those guys, because I'm not even there yet. So and that's just the reality of it. You got to get better and better, and we're going to work on things to make sure we do get there.
Well, Petey, we're rolling into a good time of the season for you and rolling into some really good tracks for you. You know, we've got coming up here, we've got Riverside. We've also got St. Eustache, and then we also have Jukasa. All of those racetracks have been good to you in the past. Are you really excited for a certain racetrack coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said, once I get some testing in this week, there's a certain feeling that I'm looking for in the car. And I haven't been able to get that yet. I know the speed's there, but once I get that comfort in driving, I've always been a guy who kind of can hang around. I'm never going to set the world on fire in practice or qualifying, but I haven't had the long-haul speed like I'd like neither. So there's a certain feel I'm looking for, and I think once I have that, I'll be really excited to get some more races under our belt. The National Exhaust car, I mean, has been good everywhere. We just haven't been good enough to win yet, and, you know, we'll get there.
Now, you're going to be heading off to the East Coast. Can you tell us what all you've got going on coming up out there?
Yeah, this is the first time I just, like I said, announcing it. So we're really excited. We're going to be running this weekend for the first time, the Toromont Cat 250 at Halifax, Scotia Speed World. We're going to be doing that with Stevie Henderson, Cecil Vance, teammate Sean Turple, really good race car driver. So really excited to get seat time in that. We have Dexter Construction on board, and we're also going to have Toromont Cat on the hood. So really exciting time. Something I've wanted to do for the last decade, actually, just haven't had time in the schedule to get it together. Obviously, I was out of the seat for a while as well, but really, really excited about this opportunity.
Man, you're going to fit this like a glove, Pete. I can guarantee it. And fans are really going to be in for a treat. You're going to be in a really good car, in a really good series. And I'll tell you what, we've been covering that Cat 250, I believe, for like, this is our eighth season. And I'll tell you what, it's a barn burner each and every time. You're in for not only the ride of your life, but you're in for a ton of fun as well.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited. Like I said, to me, the East Coast is really the birthplace of all some of the greatest stock car races we've had in the country. You know, Junior Hanley, Don Biederman, really close family friends of ours. It means so much, you know. And I think that us in Ontario, I don't know if we realize all the time how strong those guys are out there. That's a hub of racing. So I'm really excited to get in there and mix it up with some of those guys. And like you said, I know I'm going to have the equipment. It's a matter of getting used to it and getting used to it fast, because it's going to be a long race, and we're excited about it for sure.
Just don't drive your Canadian Tire Series car or Pinty Series car into the corner as hard as you do the late model. Right?
No kidding.
Yeah. Just, you know, we were talking up in the spotter stand at Chaudière, and Jeff Walt was up there, and we had a good chuckle the first lap in practice. He looked at me, he goes, well, he drives it like a late model.
I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't bite, but that makes sense now.
Yeah. Well, you're in for a good one. A Scotia Speed World, nice wide track. You've got some runoff areas and stuff like that. But, Pete, I'll tell you what. I got a brand-new perspective. The last race we did at Scotia, took a walk over to the pit area, and I was hanging out around Donald Chisholm's pit there, talking to George Koskulik, and final practice came up for them. And I thought, man, I'm going to hang out. I'm going to go up to the fence, and I'm going to check these guys out right at track level and watch them, you know, come through turns one and two and go down the back stretch. And I watched George Koskulik throw it down the back chute into turn 3-4. And I'll tell you what, I was scared, and I was standing outside the fence. Like, it was crazy how fast every one of those teams is. I'm honest in saying, Pete, you're going to enjoy it. And, man, you're going to be in competitive ride with Stevie Henderson and all those guys. Sean Turple as a teammate. Watch out. You're in for a good one here.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to learn off those guys. You know, they're running more modern setups, and maybe there's stuff that I could pick up on there that I'm missing this year myself. So just the overall, from top to bottom, they're just an exceptional operation, the way that they go about things there. And it couldn't be a better opportunity for me right now. And, you know, being that it's fast stuff, I'm not expecting to go there and set the world on fire by any means. But, you know, if I can get a good run under my belt, that's good for confidence. And it means a lot running with those guys because, like you said, I know that they're very competitive and the level of competition is going to be very insane there. It's going to be intense.
I don't think I could be any happier to say this next statement, but Petey Shepherd is back. You know, when you look at it,
yeah.
Petey Shepherd is back. And there was a time, Petey, where, you know, you had the world by the tail, by every stretch, and you were racing everything. You were climbing in through windows of all different types of race cars. And I don't think anybody could be happier than me, seeing you back in all these different types of cars. I know you made your comeback, you know, a couple years back, in the Canadian Tire Series, and you did it last year in a Super Late and a Pro Late, but seeing you in the Pinty Series, the Xfinity Series, going out to the East Coast in the Pro Stock, this is where you belong, kid. And I love it. I absolutely love seeing you out there having success and go get it.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling me a kid still. I'm getting beat up on by a lot of kids, so I gotta put that into an end. Right?
You'll always be younger than me, my friend. Maybe only by like 4 or 5 months, but you're still a kid.
Yeah. We've always been closer on the track, that's for sure. Yeah.
So you're going to go after the 250 at Scotia Speed World. Fans of Petey and, of course, Pro Stock fans know that you're going to be able to listen to live flag-to-flag coverage of that race. You won't miss a thing. I mean, qualifying, you'll get absolutely everything next Saturday on racetimeradio.com worldwide live. Won't cost you anything. just click and listen, and you'll be able to hear how P.D. Shepherd makes out. But P.D., after the 250, of course, Riverside International Speedway has got the NASCAR Pindy Series in, which you'll probably be part of as well, right? You're going to take the Pindy's car.
Yeah, absolutely. The initial plan actually was to stay there for the week and, you know, relax with Stevie and his group and stuff like that. But with this Iowa race that came up last minute, you know, and vacation time at work, it got a little bit tight, so I have to come back in between. So two separate flights into Halifax, but we're ready for it. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Things have been going well marketing-wise as well. You got some partners on board.
Yeah, absolutely. VRX, we're really excited that they came on board with us this year. They're on board on the oval car, obviously, for the rest of the year. They were a big part of our success at the Indy. We're hoping to make that a long-term arrangement. I know that they're really excited about things in the future, as are we. National Exhaust, always been a supporter. Tom Baker, can't thank him enough. And just everybody on board, it's been great. You know, the results, like I said, on track, the results, we need to get a little bit better. But the support off the track and then the stuff behind the scenes has been stellar for us. So hopefully we're going to, you know, keep momentum equal, you know, bring some of the off-track success on the track, and that's what we really need to have happen now.
Well, if anybody can do it, P.D. Shepherd, I know it's you. When do you roll into the East Coast? Do you get any kind of practice time or anything in that cat car before things fly?
So I'm going to fly in Thursday night and then stay near the airport, and then we're going to head into Truro, which is where the car is, get fitted in the seat, and then I guess my first practice will be practice session one race day.
You're going to love it. Petey, all the success. I know the Racetime Radio broadcast team will all be out there. They'll be getting lots of words with you over the course of the weekend. And we wish you well, my friend. And we look forward to catching up with you again here on Racetime.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you both for everything you guys do for the sport, too. Really appreciate it.
You bet. That's Petey Shepherd. You're going to be able to catch him in the Tourmont Cat 250 out at Scotia Speed World next weekend. And then follow it up with the NASCAR race at Riverside International Speedway. Junior, you got to watch Petey. I'm telling you, this guy here can get her done, as you know.
Oh, 100%. And he's hungry. You know, he says it in a very politically correct way, but his performance hasn't shown how hungry he is this year on the racetrack in the Pindy Series yet. You know, new team. And but remember, when he rolled out with the 7 car the first time in the Pindy Series, it was the same way.
It was
the exact same way. And he got the feet wet and got everything pointed in the right direction. And then he lit the world on fire.
Yeah.
He went out there, and every time he's seen the 7 car unloaded in an oval or anywhere else, you just knew that car was going to contend for the win. And that's the way that not only he is, but the entire family, really. You know, when you look at Pete Shepherd Sr. and you look at the other Pete Shepherd, right? Because he's the third.
Right.
The Shepherd family has been, you know, just a staple in Victory Lane, not only at the racetrack, but in Victory Lane. You know, Petey's hungry to get there. And the marketing job that he's doing, he's really one of the only teams that are attracting new sponsorship into the series. There's a very select few that are doing that. And Petey Shepherd is doing a great job with that. And, you know, his communications that he operates is doing a great job with that as well. And he's just an all-around good kid. He's a good friend of mine, and I like him a lot. He's just he's a cool cat.
Yeah, man, I wish I was going to be at Scotia Speed World this weekend.
You
that's
wish.
It's going to be a good one. I'm not going to be able to be there. I'm going to be out at Eastbound. I'm excited to get there, too. But I know the RTR broadcast team
that's
are coming
right
unglued. They can't wait to get to the Tourmont Cat 250. It's going to be a good one. You can bet I'm going to have my earbud in listening to the race as
Absolutely.
Well. It's going to be super. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines for a few minutes before we get Matt Pertigo on the line. So we're going to open the phone lines up to you. Give us a call, 888-572-2384. The number again, 888-572-2384. And we'll be back in just a couple of moments. Stay with us.
Don't know I'm down here.
Hey, Rick Grimson, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Some small imperfection in my soul or in my head.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, ensuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Join us Saturday, August 11th at 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the 19th annual Tourmont Cat 250 Under the Lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
And Dylan Blankhorn is pulling out all the stops. There's no saving anything anymore.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
I think the spotter said, show me what you got. We're seeing it now.
The claws will come out for the Tourmont Cat 250. It's live, flag-to-flag coverage worldwide at racetimeradio.com.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the first ever NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio. Only on SiriusXM 167. We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. If you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167, good evening to you. Hope you're enjoying the long weekend. Man, we got some beautiful weather here today in the province of Ontario. Or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello to everybody out there. Gearhead Country Radio, Performance Motorsport Network.com, or maybe you just clicked on our Listen on Demand and you're listening to the program that way, or maybe on Apple iTunes. There's so many different ways to get Racetime Radio, and we appreciate everybody clicking in and sharing, and we'll just make this Canadian racing thing just a little bit bigger each and every time we do that. Junior, there is a ton of racing going on, even tonight here in the province and straight across the country. A lot of races. It's a long weekend.
It's a long weekend, and we're working. What the hell are we doing here?
I know. Well,
everybody's working
talk
for
racing.
The weekend. It's a great song.
Yeah. But, yeah. Lover Boy.
Yeah. Hey, it was, you know, looking at Sauble Speedway, they were gearing up for the, you know, one of the last rounds of the Great Great Lakes Concrete Series.
Oh, that's right, too. How's that series going? Is it going really good?
The last race was pretty good out. Joe Lawrence ended up going to victory lane at Sauble. I know Rick Waltz picked up a win in that deal I believe Gord Shepherd picked up a win as well
good
over at Sunset.
Gordy.
They're racing at Sunset Speedway tonight, or at Sauble Speedway tonight, sorry. I believe the Oscar Muds are over at Peterborough Speedway. Just a hot weekend all around. I know they're racing over at Full Throttle Motor Speedway. They've got a regular night scheduled for tonight over there as well. And just a big weekend overall. And the crowd at Sauble definitely everybody came up to the beach for the hot weekend.
Yeah, sure did. Big happenings out on Canada's East Coast. The Parts for Trucks Tour made their last stop of the season at Oyster Bed Speedway. And Cole Butcher ended up winning that race. So he swept the island. How about that for Cole?
Cole's on a roll.
Yeah, he's on a big time roll. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in the guy that, he beat the heat, we'll say. And he beat 26 other guys on Sauble Speedway just last night. Let's welcome in the winner of the APC race, sponsored by Spira. We have Matt Pertigo with us. What's going on there, Matt? How you doing?
I'm good, guys. Just actually sitting on the beach in Bayfield and watching this beautiful sunset.
Isn't that nice? Look at that.
With a big check.
You got to do it sometime.
With a big check sitting right beside you.
that and maybe a beer or two.
Nice.
And a checkbook because you got to fix
exactly.
the car.
Hey, so Dad has commented a million times. It was right after the Great Canadian 200 at Delaware Speedway. Andrew Grizel won it. You finished second, and I don't know
like
who
always.
Finished third. Dad interviewed you, and I believe it was Jamie Cox actually that finished third. And Gressel and Cox were absolutely gassed after the race.
Tongue hanging out,
sweat dripping off them, and they looked like they just ran a marathon. And Dad walked over and interviewed you, and you've said it a million times.
And
I'm pointing right at you. But you said Matt Pertigo looked like he could have ran another 250 laps. He was nice, calm, cool, collected.
I remember that interview.
So he's commented on that quite a few times over the years. Now I will say, because this is an old joke now, because you're getting a little older now, but I walked down to Victory Lane just to congratulate you guys, and you looked a little tired. You were a little used up, Matt Pertigo.
That was a long race, you know. It was hot as heck. More cautions than necessary, unfortunately. You know, I feel bad for the fans that came out to watch a good race, but I think they saw more red flag action than anything else. But between the heat and it's coming up from, I think we started ninth or tenth or something like that. It was a hard race.
It was, for sure. And you drove one of the best races I've ever seen you race. You were fast as hell and visibly fast. You didn't finish there because there was guys that wrecked in front of you. You had the car to beat at the end of that deal. And you guys were absolutely rocket ships. Talk to us a little bit about the car, because that was probably fun to drive.
That was the first time, the guys that always tell me to save my tires, and I think that was the first time I ever saved my tires, and boy, did it work out well.
Don't say that. They're going to tell you that all the time now. They're going to wear you out.
It was weird. That car kicked in with probably about 30 laps to go. Don't get me wrong. It was fast all night. We had a great car, and we were just cruising. And it's a 100-lap race. That's all you have to do. For the first 80 laps or so, wrecking is really not an option. You really don't have to do that. But, like I said, just cruise for the first 80 laps or so, and that car just kicked in after the last caution or red flag, whatever it was, and we just hammered away to the front, used the bumper when we needed to, but, it wasn't a bad, push by any means. It was Robbins Racing. So, did that and just got out front and cruised.
I would love to see, just for the fans that weren't there, for anybody that wasn't there, I would love to see the lap times of the last 15 laps, because you weren't saving your tires at that point. You were digging, but you stretched out at least 10 car lengths. Well, I'm going to say 10 car lengths every 10 laps. You were gaining a car length a lap over the rest of the field. I was like, man, that guy's going to be smiling in that car because it looked incredible. Just hats off to you guys. Your season so far, Matt, obviously that's the first APC race that I've been to. Talk to us a little bit about the entire season because it's the first time that we've caught up with you.
We've had our ups and downs for sure. One DNF, fortunately, the distributor broke at Delaware. But you know, when the car is good, we're up front. You know, you'll see us in the top five without a doubt, unless something goes wrong. Last race in Flamborough, we actually we had a motor hit, and we just found out we were running on 7 cylinders. So you know, to finish, I think fourth we did at Flamborough on 7 cylinders. You know, that just speaks for the way these McCall chassis are built. This Global Orange Southtown Camry, it's stout wherever we go. And the setup's there. So we're extremely, extremely proud of the way we ran on the weekend and really looking forward to Sunset next weekend.
I can well imagine. Coming off the win, that's got to feel good, and it really sets the tone for the next race. Who have you got helping you out? I know a couple years ago, Matt, when we got together, Tom Walters popped his head out, and he was working on that brand-new McCall car. Who have you got helping you out today?
Yeah, Tommy, he helped us out a bunch the last couple of years. These days, Rick McCall, Mike's brother, he's helping us full-time. He's our new crew chief this year. And obviously Ron Perrin, he's helping us out. And a couple of guys that work with us at work, stuff like that. But really, really hats off to all the boys at the shop and all the boys at McCall's, really putting a stout setup into this car and just, you know, fine-tuning it. Every time we get off the track and practice, we're making a change. You know, you just for the competition that there is in this APC series, you just can't not touch the car. You got to do something to it because, you know, there's a ton of fast guys out there, and you want to be one of those guys. And like I said, put it on the podium at the end.
We're with Matt Perdigo tonight. He is the driver of the 21, and he won the Beat the Heat Spyro 100 last night at Sauble Speedway, part of the APC series. And Matt, I got to say, how many times did you and I do interviews at Sauble Speedway, and you were second? And, man, you came so close. And then you were second again, and you came so close. What was it last year? You led just about the entire race, and the tires did give up, and you had to settle for second. Not this year, buddy.
No, I'm finally learning. You know, conserve those tires, 100-lap race. You stay out of the wrecks, don't cause a wreck, you know, that's the last thing you want to do. So we're gonna put that same strategy, obviously, in place for next weekend in Sunset. Really not much of a setup change going into that track. So I know we're gonna have a fast car, and we're gonna gun for the win like always.
Matt, looking at your career, and you've been in late models now for, it seems like, 100 years. It seems like you're the old staple now in late models.
Feels like it.
Talk to us a little bit about that and where you've come from. Like, obviously, you've got a road course background back in the day, but you've been in late models now for a long time. What's the state of late model racing, in your opinion?
I think it's amazing. I think I've been racing late models for about 5 years now. Grew up running the Coney Challenge, the Rolex, stuff like that, road course racing. Transitioned to late models, like I said, about 5 years ago. Good friend Johnny Erlin introduced me to this odd-looking car that only turned left. So I got into that, ran a couple races, and you know, fell in love with it. I think late model racing, at least in Ontario, is doing quite well, especially this APC series. Hats off to Luke and everyone who runs that series, because it's a great championship. There's always no less than, I'd say, 25 cars or so. I think there was 27, 28 this weekend at Sauble. And they're filling the stands at each track. It's truly amazing.
Talk to us also a little bit about the competition level. I looked at my R monitor about three quarters of the way through practice, and the top half of the field was separated by less than a tenth. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like that.
No, it's you know, you bring up Racemeyer, like I said, I think the top 15 or so is all within a tenth or a tenth and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
And that just goes back to what I said. You gotta keep changing stuff throughout the practice. Even though you think the car may be perfect, it's probably not going to be perfect in the race. So keep throwing stuff at it, and that all starts, you know, with a great setup. Like I said, the car goes to McCall's, and they put a stout setup in, and we're fast everywhere we go. But, the competition in the series is nuts. Obviously, you got Brand and JR, and even, you know, Jake Sheridan. I did an interview for Inside Track magazine at the beginning of the year, and I said, you know, this is the kid to watch, and he's doing well. So, and he is going to do well throughout the years in this series or wherever he goes. So, really, really happy with the competition in this series. I couldn't ask for any more. You never know where you're going to finish every time you go to a race in the series.
Well, it's a good time to be Matt Perdigo if you're driving a 21 because you went to victory lane last night. Looking down the road now, what do you got? Three races left. I want to say you got Sunset. You get a chance to get back to that Canada's fastest half mile at Delaware Speedway. You'll be back there one more time. And, of course, Jukasa comes up. I believe that's the next three for you guys. How excited are you to get to those three?
Wow, super pumped. Obviously, we do well at Sunset every time we go there. Jukasa, I believe we finished second or third there last year as well. And then we have the big money race on the Sunday, which is a whole different story, you know, a whole different setup, different shocks, different engine. Really looking forward to that. A couple of ringers coming down from the States. That's going to be really interesting. And then back at our home track, Delaware Speedway, where we won the championship and won many races there before. So it's only going up from here on out, I believe. You know, we got a stout car, a stout motor now. So we're looking for a couple more wins.
Yeah, are we gonna see you run Speed Weeks this year? I know you've talked about it, like so every year we've talked about it. But now's the time where you can you can say yes, and then you can back out later. But are you gonna run Speed Weeks this year?
I don't know. It's always a toss up. It's a lot of money. Fortunate enough, we have Blue Warranty, amazing sponsor on our vehicle, and has been for the last 5 years. You never know. I would love to go down to Florida. Enjoy the warm weather and race some late models, but that's definitely something we're going to have to decide later on.
Yeah, well, you're having too much fun doing what you're doing.
If I win that Jukasa race, I'll go down Speedway.
Absolutely.
There you go.
And so, you're buying the beer also.
There you go.
We'll be watching for you, Matt. Hey, this has been great catching up with you tonight. You enjoy that sunset and that boogie board. Did you get a boogie board?
Yeah, but it's unfortunately like maybe a foot, and unfortunately I'm 6'6", so I don't think I'm going to be boogieing on this water anytime soon.
No. Oh well.
You just got to win another one and strap it to the other foot.
Yeah, exactly.
Duct tape it together.
Just glue them up. Matt, this has been great catching up with you, bud. Always appreciate it, and congratulations on the big win. Go get another one. We got your seat saved here, bud.
Perfect. Much appreciated, guys.
You bet. That's Matt Perdigo. Great run for him, Junior. Always like, he is such a low-key guy. He's like that when he gets out of that car, and it's blowing my mind every time. I usually get up and get interviews with guys, and some of them are just wound like a 12-day clock when they get out of the car. Not Matt Perdigo. He's an even keel guy.
Yeah, no, 100%. And, you know, he races like that. He's a very clean racer. There's a clean racer, and then there's a smart racer that races clean, and he's a smart racer that races clean. He uses the bumper, he gets in there and digs with the rest of them. He can make it three wide. He's not afraid to do things on the racetrack that it takes to win. He'll move a guy out of the way, and he did last night, but in a clean way and in a good, hard, short track racing way. And he has taken this to short track racing like a duck to a water. And he's just a great cat.
Yeah, he sure is. Awesome to see, and he won last night. So cool to see. But we are getting close to the top of the hour, where we're going to throw it back to the SiriusXM studio. We're going to get you up to date with a little news highlight package, and then we're going to come back for hour number two here tonight on Racetime Radio. What do we got coming up in hour two? How about Cole Butcher? He won NPEI last night. And we're going to talk to him about that. We'll talk some more about the Tourmont Cat 250 coming up. And we got some clips from Watkins Glen. And we're going to open the phone lines and take your calls. Lots still to come. So stay with us here tonight on RTR.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Ah, look at that. Just like that. Hour number two begins here tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Sure do appreciate it. Tell your friends, too, right? If you're into racing and they don't know about Racetime Radio, let them know. You can tune in. We are here every Sunday night, and we're live for 2 hours, and we got lots to talk about, lots to cover off, and I'm about to, I got a real tickle at the back of my throat. I thought maybe I was going to have to hit that cough button, but it did go away. Every now and then, it'll happen to me, and when it does, sorry about that. I have to bail out when that happens.
That's all good.
No, we are good right now. How about Watkins Glen on the weekend? We got to talk about it. The Xfinity race yesterday, Alex Labbe, driver of the number 36. Of course, the whole effort put together and being ran by Mario Gosselin. These guys, since Daytona, when they kicked it all off, have been in a learning process, and they're running the full Xfinity season. I just can't say enough about Alex Labbe and the growth that we see through that 36. If you sit back and you're only watching the top few guys, you probably haven't noticed Alex Labbe. But if you're a race fan, you got to be looking through there to find out who's coming. And I'll tell you what, Alex Labbe is coming.
He is, for sure. And, you know, looking at the success that he's had on ovals and select road courses up here in Canada, he's done a masterful job with his career up to this point. When you look at how he entered the NASCAR Pinty Series, just like what it is today for him in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah.
You know, came in, didn't make waves, made laps, learned, got better, got faster, and then came out of nowhere and started winning stuff. And if you look at what he's doing right now in the Xfinity Series, now that's a big gap to jump, from the Pinty Series to the Xfinity Series, but he's doing it, and he's making gains big time. You know, he's never been a 35th place car.
Nope.
Never. Not
since
once.
He started.
No, he's been a 20th place car. He's been an 18th place car. He's been a 15th place car, a 12th place car, and then he goes out to Watkins Glen in the rain in you know, treacherous conditions and goes out there and you know, leads some laps and
yes,
runs out front and maintains a gap and, of course, gets, you know, stung a little bit with pit strategy, but, you know, was very competitive all the way through the day and really came home 18th the week prior to that at Iowa. So when you look at you know, the growth and the excitement behind that team, everybody in the Pinty's garage is talking about that team.
Good.
And
they should be.
And everybody at every racetrack that we go to, you know, they're talking about Alex Labbe. He's doing great. And really the biggest prospect to come out of Canada to go run full time in a very long time. And
yes. And to do a respectable job.
To do a respectable job.
And show growth.
Exactly. Not go out there and run around in 28th. And now he's had days like that where he's, you know, struggled.
Well, yeah, but things break or they miss the mark.
Exactly.
Yep.
But you look at that team and they're building a notebook right now and they're buying good equipment. He's getting everything he can get out of the car, and he's also not making crazy waves that, in a bad way, he's not wrecking a lot of stuff.
No.
You know, he's got into a few altercations throughout the year, but really he's making gains, and he's making them smart, and he's got a great guy on top of the pit box. Alex Labbe is doing a wonderful job for himself, but for Canada. And, you know, it takes a guy like that. You look at Daniel Suarez, right? And he's out of Mexico. He's got some, you know, Mexican money from different companies.
Yep.
But it's taken that to get him there. But you look at through the ranks now, and you look in the NASCAR K&N series, you look in the ARCA series, you look in the truck series, and you're seeing an influx of Mexican drivers. Well, you're going to see that exact same thing once Alex Lebe gets to that point where he is contending for top fives and contending in the top 10. And they start talking about him. Stuart Friesen as well.
Yes.
Back
in the
to back.
Series.
You know, they are both in the exact same boat. And now Stuart's been in it for a little while. He's been you know, he dabbled in the truck
years,
series
right?
for a few years. And then, you know, he made a good run at it last year. And now he's contending for wins. And, you know, when you turn on a telecast, every second word is Friesen.
Yep.
When you're talking about it.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
And Alex Lebe and Mario Gosselin, the funding package that they have put together, you know, if they continue to grow that and they continue to grow their R&D, he's going to just continue to get better.
Yeah, he sure is. And awesome to see. We really need to support these guys like Alex and, you know, like Stu. Look at the job they're actually doing. It's monumental. And I got to really look and point at when I see Alex Lebe and to see the success that he is having right now, you got to look at the NASCAR Pindy Series and say, attaboy to the NASCAR Pindy Series. That's where, you know, Alex cut his teeth. That's where he learned how to do a lot of this stuff. And you know what? That's what it takes. You need to have good equipment, but man, you got to be smart behind the wheel, and nothing will make you smarter than, you know, being in a good competitive series. And that's really what we got in the NASCAR Pindy Series. It's cool. We haven't got a lot of cars. We need more cars in it. We could do a whole show talking about, you know, how to get cars into that series, whether it's fruitful or not, is another thing. But you know, it's we need more cars in the NASCAR Pindy Series. It's a tall order. But you know what? If it doesn't start, if it doesn't happen, we're not going to have a NASCAR Pindy Series. You know, you get less cars and less emphasis because there isn't. And it's just a shame. It drives me right up the wall.
I think they've turned a little bit of a corner, though, and to back it up, because really it wasn't that long ago where it was only, you know, 12, 13 cars talking about going the West Coast swing. They had 17 take the green flag.
I want to see what show up at Riverside.
Absolutely.
Historically, the Riverside race, and I'm telling you, for fans that don't know that have never been to Riverside and seen that facility, I'm telling you right now, you are missing the boat. You're missing one
100%.
Of the best speedways in all of Canada, if not one of the best short tracks across North America.
100%.
You got to see this track and how it races, the facility itself. And when the NASCAR Pindy Series goes there, I don't know why, but they don't have a really good, strong car count.
I think this year is a little bit different, though, because it's on the way. It's not.
I
it's
hope
not,
you're right.
It's not off in the distance like it has been on the schedule before, where you go from Ontario to racing out there. I know there's a lot of teams that are going to make the trip to Trois-Rivières and then take their haulers directly from Trois-Rivières to Riverside.
To Riverside. And keep going.
That's exactly.
Do you know what they need to do? They need to load that place up with 25, 26, 27, or 30. And don't tell me there isn't 30 Pindy's cars. There is. There's more than that sitting around somewhere.
It would be a wild show.
Wouldn't it be? It would be off the hook.
It's a wild show with 15 cars, too, though.
Riverside deserves to have a real good Pinty's race.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really does.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that the Pinty's race at Riverside isn't a good race. I've been there, and I've seen a number of them.
Great.
And they're off the hook.
Yep.
They're really good races, even with, 14, 15, 16 cars.
Yep.
But it really would be nice to see a big influx and a real focus put on that East Coast race. I'll tell you, Riverside deserves it because they've been the track, if you will, that has stood behind the NASCAR Pindy Series. The series is nothing without the support of the fans, without the support of the series sponsors. Or without the support of the actual racetracks,
exactly,
wanting to have a race.
Yep.
So, like all things being equal here, Riverside is owed a really, really good strong car count. And I'll tell you what, if they do that, the fan support that they're going to see at that facility is going to go through the roof.
Yep, 100%.
But I it's not the chicken before the egg. In this case here, in speaking with fans, they want to see the car count. And when they see the car count, trust me, you're going to see the fans. Yep. You're going to see them there in droves. And what a place. What a place. I can't wait for that race to come up.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a good one. Riverside, you know, St. Eustache, Trois-Rivières, there's some great racing coming up in the Pinty Series, and they're working hard at it. You know, there's some big names that are lining up, and I'm hearing some different names that you're going to hear over the next couple of weeks of who's going to be at Loudon. You know, later on in the
That's another one. That's another one that sort of that throws me off the rails.
You think
you know?
So?
Well, I
don't know.
It's our national series. It is our national series, and they're taking the NASCAR Pinty Series, and they're taking it across the border and putting it out
loud.
Well,
we've said right here on this show, I've wanted to see them at Michigan, and you've said that as well. Yeah, I've said that I've wanted to see them at Watkins Glen.
Yeah.
I think it would be so cool.
Well,
the NASCAR Mexico series, they came up to Phoenix.
Okay.
They came up to Phoenix.
Yep.
They're not going down and racing Stafford, which is a half mile. That would not make sense.
No.
But you know they're going down and they're racing a 1 mile racetrack. What better way to get some of these Canadian competitors to get onto a mile racetrack other than going down and renting a ride from somebody else?
Okay, so they go down and they run a mile.
It's tough on the sponsorship side,
Joe,
because
it's 30 cents on the dollar as soon as you cross the border.
Oh, yeah, no,
the
I get all that.
The teams are going to spend a fortune to go do that.
Absolutely.
A fortune.
Yep.
Are they going to get paid a whole pile of more money to go down and run that race?
I don't know.
Maybe to win. Maybe there's an extra carrot there for the guy that wins. But how about the guy that comes in 15th?
Yep.
I would just hazard to say he's probably not going to make any more than he would if he rolled into, Riverside, I don't know, Kawartha or whatever race, right?
Yep.
Like, to me...
Well, Kawartha's gone now.
Oh, well,
yeah,
okay.
I got you.
To me, what I'm saying is to put the extra strain on the race teams to go down and run across the border all the way out in Loudon, it would make more sense if they ran a centralized race, say, at Michigan, because you've got, I don't know, it's closer to everything. Where Loudon is, that's a stretch, man. That's way out there, and it's south of the border. It's cool track, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love to see the guys on that track, but does it make sense? I think what makes more sense is to broadcast every one of their races live. That would make more sense to me than it would be to take them and put them down at Loudon, New Hampshire for a race. That's just my opinion. I'd love to hear what your opinion is on this subject. Do you think the NASCAR Pinty Series is doing the right thing by going to Loudon? What's your opinion? Because really, that's the one that counts.
Absolutely.
Mine doesn't really count. Mine is just what it is. What counts is the race fans' opinion. And it'd be great to hear from you. Tell us what you think. And you can do that. 888-572-2384 is the hotline phone number. Give us a call. While we await the phone calls, what do you say we listen to some clips from in the media center at Watkins Glen? The NASCAR K&N Pro Series was there. And how about a Brett Moffitt goes to victory lane? It was a great race for him. Here's what he had to say in the media center after the K&N win.
It was certainly eventful. We got spun early, got our left front fender ripped off early. It was really unfortunate because our Toyo Pet Camry was really good. So ultimately, I was kind of down at the beginning of the race. And then once we got back up to the lead, we got grass in the grill and had to pit under green. And then I really thought our day was over and everything just worked back out. But I can't say enough for the guys at HRE and Gunma Toyo Pet for everything they do and giving me the opportunity to come race this race. And honestly, this is in preparation for Canada in the Truck Series. And I really think it was good. I got to run in the rain earlier because we don't know if we're going to have those conditions at Canada. But that was my first time doing that, and I think I learned a lot today.
So there you go. Good race for Brett Moffitt. And how about that? He's getting ready for the truck race in Canada. Canada's ultimate NASCAR weekend is the Silverado 250 weekend coming up at CTMP. Tickets are available, I might add, right now for that weekend. You don't want to miss it. It's off the hook.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's really interesting to see all the competitors that were in the Watkins Glen K&N race that also race trucks. Really, when you look at it, Noah Gregson, who's came up here, got some seat time in a Pinty's car. He was also in a K&N car. At Watkins Glen, you also had Bubba Wallace, who's not running up here in Canada, but he was getting extra seat time for the Cup race later on today. Which run today, you know, it was cool to see the influx of guys that were getting ready for the next step, the next phase, it helps so much if you're not a road course racer. How you become a road course racer is you turn a lot of laps on a road course.
Yeah,
and
you
just ask
a
guy like Chase Elliott. Yeah. You know, he was not a road course racer. He grew up in super late models. He got his truck win up here. We were just talking about it at CTMP. And then, of course, goes to Victory Lane at Watkins Glen. And how he got there was turning a lot of laps on road courses, getting ready and dialing it in.
Yeah, cool to see Chase Elliott win, by the way. But we do go to the hotline, and we have, look at this, Mr. Kent on that East Coast. What's going on, buddy?
What's happening, boys?
Well, we're just flying along here. Quite a weekend. Did you catch any of the coverage from Watkins Glen?
I caught actually both races, and today's race was really good. Yesterday's race, when they had to go to the wet tires, I made a post on Facebook. How interesting was that when the guys ended up getting a red flag, basically for another issue to cover the rain delay, and then they had to make up their minds of how long the track was going to take to dry when they got back green. But
yeah, see,
Pinty Series coming to Riverside, Joe. You would have that place off the hook if you got 20 cars there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you see a big car count? They're owed that, aren't they, Kent?
Well, I think the highest we ever seen was, in my memory, I think we've had 18. And that was the year that both Chisholm and Fleming had the extra car when DJ Casey ran for the Fleming car.
Yeah.
I think we had 18 those years, so we had 16 travelers plus the two home cars.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, if you had 20 to 25 cars like you get at St. Eustache or Otter Chaudriere or one of those, man, like it would be just off the hook. And I think the drivers would be just as much off the hook as the fans would be.
Yeah, there's a lot of drivers that have not seen Riverside International Speedway just because they don't go that far east.
Well, yeah, like you take that we're a little bit further out of the way, and we're a little bit later in the season. So if you were out of the points, that sort of seemed to be what happened before. If you're out of that points race, then you sort of just stopped at Quebec and said, well, we'll look at it next year. But coming from Trois-Rivières or whatever, as Joe Jr. was saying, it might make a difference. Hopefully it does. And the fact that half the field of the regular, what I would call the regular cars, seems to be still in the points race with the points being so tight.
Yeah, and, you know, the majority of the cars, and I could be wrong on this, don't think I am, but the majority of NASCAR Pinty Series cars are either in the province of Quebec or the province of Ontario. When the guys turn and they go all the way out to Edmonton, or they run Saskatoon, which I might add is a lot further tow than what it is to go to Riverside. It may take, I don't know, 12 to 14 hours if you're central Ontario to get to Riverside, where it's got to take you at least 24 to 36 hours to get out to Edmonton.
But don't they have the same problems? And I know I watched the Twin 125s the other night, but aren't they only getting the 16 to 17 cars out that way too?
Yeah, and there is a couple of them that are central or out that way. So, what do you think about going the series going to Loudoun? Are you a fan of that? Is it a good idea? What's your opinion on that?
Well, as a one of, I think it'll be interesting to see them on it, but I'm the same as you. In it's Canada's national series, and there's a few tracks, whether you want to say that there's tracks in Ontario, or even if they, like, what would happen if they came east and went to either as a national series and trying to cover all provinces, if they left Trois Rivières and had a race in New Brunswick and then the race at Riverside.
Yeah, well, exactly. Then you right? double
like,
down,
you know
right?
What I mean that there's two points, and I guess you could sort of look at it maybe too. The Saskatoon race has gone to Twin 125s, and I love the 300 lap race, but we have a competition yellow
right
in the middle. And I don't know about the promoters and what their situation is on it or whatever, but maybe if it was twin 150s and you get double the points, maybe that's why they're getting the 16 to 18 cars out west,
mm-hmm.
because you, in two stops, you have three races.
Yes.
So if we had the same thing coming east where they added a race in New Brunswick or went to Scotia.
Yep.
And then come back to Riverside and head to Twins or something like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
I just love to see 20 to 25 cars on Riverside. I think it would be off the hook. And I think you would, if you had that many cars and people knew there was that many cars.
Yes.
You would have almost, you might not get as big as crowd as the IWK.
Right.
But they've had some pretty damn nice crowds for that Pinty Series race.
Yeah. And it would grow, right? It would grow into
16 cars.
Yeah, the IWK 250 didn't magically all of a sudden fill the place. It took years to grow
like
that.
When it first started when it took on the namesake of the IWK, which is only the last 15 years or so.
Yep.
Then it wasn't filling, like you say, it wasn't filling the grandstands. They didn't have to fill they didn't have to build more grandstands over coming out of turn two.
No.
They did that after 5 or 6 years of building the product.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, the NASCAR Pinty Series, if they rolled into a place like Riverside and had 20 to 25 cars, I believe that would be a game changer to the fact that you would see more East Coast teams wanting to get involved with the series. Same thing, Kent. When they go west, what do? They stop in Saskatoon, run a race on a Wednesday night, and then off they go to Edmonton, which is another, what, Junior, 5-6 hours away?
Yeah.
5-6 hours away.
5 hours.
And then you do another race. So I can see it for the race teams. They're double dipping. They got two races. They got two paydays. It makes sense.
So, no, that's the next issue there, that where you're going there. With the payouts, so
You can't tell me that they're doing that Saskatoon race on one payout, Junior. Now, come on.
Well, no. It's technically not one payout. It's a little better than how it normally is.
Right.
But it's two separate races, and the payout
two separate
is
point values.
Two right. separate points values. Yes, correct. But you only have a handful of guys that are going to be able to do the whole points deal.
Well,
so points isn't the draw. Money is a draw.
Sure, it is.
But here's the problem is that to get a big tour race like that,
right.
The cost to the promoter, to the track, is so significant that it makes it a lot more difficult to put a sizable payout up to allow the teams to race for more money.
I know, but that's falling back on the series to generate the right stuff.
Oh, correct. 100%.
It's not up to the teams.
And I'm not, I don't want, it's, listen, if you paid $25,000 to win at Riverside, or if you paid $20,000 to win, or $15,000 to win, you're going to get the same car count.
Right.
But the biggest thing is that it doesn't, you can't afford to go out there and even win the race on how much it costs you to get there.
Well, and that's the thing. So it, now run one at Scotia Speed World on this Saturday night, and the next Saturday night is Riverside.
Well, now,
so now you got twice
now,
the payout.
But now you just your crew either stayed or they flew back and forth.
Okay, they fly back and forth.
Your hauler, well,
the hauler
right
stays.
Right there is $1,000 a guy.
No, it isn't. Well, I do it all the time.
$700 a guy.
No, it isn't. Well, welcome to Swoop. It's cheap flying.
Yeah, well,
away you go.
Call it whatever you want to call it. You're paying per diem. You're paying your guys. You're paying all that stuff. The West Coast swing costs a lot of money.
Run Petty on Wednesday night and run Riverside on Saturday night.
Exactly. There you go. Now the teams have got two payouts.
You're adding 3 days, but you're adding an extra payday. You're adding an extra point race. And this season, like after what I've seen at the on TV, the Saskatoon race, we have the top 14 or 15 guys all within 22 or 23 points.
Yeah.
Those cars can, if somebody has a bad race, those point differences can be made up.
That's right.
Where in the past, we had guys that maybe Alex Tagliani and Andrew Ranger and DJ and Steckley and maybe one or two other cars could win.
Right.
And make a difference in the points. Where right now, you have other guys that are up and coming in the series. And I just think that, like I say, the one-off with Loudon, it'll be interesting to see.
Yes.
But as a Canada's national series, and I know it comes down to money, but I would like to see them have a 15-race season and have a stop in at least each province.
Yeah.
Or, well, region. You'd have to say two to the Maritimes, two to the West, and the other 11 races.
Yeah.
In Quebec or Ontario, just because of the travel.
Exactly. Yeah, good stuff. We got to run. I got to hit a break. But hey, it's been great catching up with you.
We're all with you. Take care. And Junior, you step on this show and take it up if he can't talk, and he'll give you the direction.
10-4. Well, he can still push buttons if he can't talk, right?
Well, there you go, right?
That's right.
All right.
Good stuff. Thanks, Kent. That's Kent on the East Coast of Canada. Calls into the show regular. Love having him on the program.
Absolutely, 100%.
His perspective, right? And that's what it is.
So, and just to clarify where I'm going with it, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus with the money side.
No.
But it does, when you race the twins, you get double points for sure. There's an incentive to do that for the teams.
Yeah.
But the monetarily, if you want more cars, it's got to either cost less or it's got to pay more. To be able to do it, or there's got to be more sponsor dollars out there to make it happen.
Right,
and not saying that the sponsor dollars aren't there, and the sponsors that are there aren't getting their bang for their buck, because they are.
Sure,
they're getting a great bang for their buck if it's designed the right way. The biggest thing right now holding it back is money, and money will always be a problem in racing. And money will always be a quick fix for certain things.
Yeah.
But when you look at a race like the IWK 250, a majority of the cars are local.
Nope.
They're local within 6 hours.
Okay.
Local within 6 hours, which is local.
Okay.
You're pulling a few cars from 20 hours away, right?
Yep.
But a majority of the cars are local within 6 hours. You put a $50,000 to win race at UCASA.
Yep.
A majority of the cars are going to be local.
Yep.
And you're going to pull a handful of cars from the 20-hour away mark, right? You're going to pull some East Coast guys. You're going to pull some U.S. guys. But the local core is where the success lies at this level. When you look at CASCAR back in the day, you used to roll out west, you'd have 40 cars, but there was CASCAR West back in the day.
Sure, there was CASCAR East, CASCAR West.
There was 10 guys that would do the Super Series.
How about grabbing a page out of Tony Novotny's book and reading it?
100%.
Reading it and doing it.
100%.
Let's get back to the 40-car days.
Well, but
it's there.
It's not there.
It is there.
It's not there. You would have to race late models, or race something like that.
Well, if it was there then, there has to be a way of getting it there now. It's simple to say, no, there's no way. Those days are done and they're gone. Well, if everyone takes on that attitude,
but
guess what?
If you started another tour, not another tour, another division of NASCAR Pinty's cars at in the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
and you started another division on the East Coast,
yeah.
of NASCAR Pinty Styles cars,
right?
The problem is the car costs $90,000 to build.
Okay, well,
or it costs. Let's call it 70.
Too much money, then, isn't it? Let's make the car less expensive. Let's
figure out how to do that.
Well, that's a lot easier than making the car more expensive. But, it's easier to make it less expensive.
But the problem is if the car is already expensive to buy right now.
Yeah.
If you want to make it less expensive,
yeah.
then you know what? It's going to cost everybody that's invested in it already a tremendous
well,
amount.
Well, there's a way that you can back them guys up, wouldn't there? Well, I don't know right offhand, but I imagine I could come up with a way.
Yeah.
I could come up with a way to pair them up. We got to hit this break. We'll be back in just a moment. We still have Cole Butcher coming up. Got to talk to him about the big sweep on the island. Cole Butcher ends up winning race number 2 in PEI in the Parts for Trucks Tour. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Trevor Bain, and I'm glad you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the first ever NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
SiriusXM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy on Aussie's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. SiriusXM 38.
Also available online and on the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby.
Things big racing.
Oh, my God.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left right up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing. The race leader off two.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Join us Saturday, August 11th at 5 p.m. Eastern.
It's a 19th annual
Tourmont Cat 250 under the lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
And Dylan Blankhorn is pulling out all the stops. There's no saving anything anymore.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
I think this water said, show me what you got. We're seeing it now.
The claws will come out for the Tourmont Cat 250. It's live, flag-to-flag coverage worldwide at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track
and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
SiriusXM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Let's get right back to the hotline and let's bring in a winner from PEI over the weekend. He drives the number 53 for Atlantic Till Load and he's part of that Alan Kowicki Driver Development Program. He's doing a bang-up job this year. Got the broom out on the island, winning both the races that happened in PEI. We have Cole Butcher with us, driver of the 53. Cole, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing fantastic, man. You did it again. You got to love PEI.
Yeah, we had a really good race on the weekend. It was tough competition. We had to start in the rear due to, I spun myself out in the heat race, racing Craig Slowly for the win. So, you know, it made it interesting. I kind of liked when starting last, I just took my time, made my way through the field, and raced a lot of tough cars. You know, Kent Vincent, Dylan Blankhorn, Braden Lange, all those guys are on their A game this year. So it made it good for the fans, and it made it fun for all of us as drivers.
Yeah, how about those guys, like the home guys from PEI? Man, they were hungry to win one of those races. You got to know it.
Yeah, you know, you understand what you're going through, what they're going through. But, you know, Dylan Gosby, Kent Vincent, Greg Proud,
Terry Duga, you know, all those guys are tough to beat at PEI. You know, it seems to be a driver's track, and you know, going there, they're going to be the guys to beat. And fortunately enough, we were able to beat them. But you know, they're not going to let you go without putting up a fight, and you know, just put on a better show for the fans.
Yeah, good deal. How was the crowd? I bet you was off the hook.
Yeah, PEI always brings a great crowd. Even the race last month, they had a big crowd. So, you know, they love racing. They love supporting their local racetrack. And, you know, as long as we keep putting on a show for the fans, they'll keep coming back.
Yeah, you want to believe it. Dynamite stuff winning both those. Good success this year, Cole. Man, you've been lighting it up.
Yeah, you know, myself and the crew, we've been on our A game this year. You know, I've been thinking going, working out more at the gym or just taking a little bit more time working on the car and making sure it's right before you go to the racetrack. So, you know, we've all have our jobs and we all make sure we're doing it 110%. But, you know, it's a pretty tough field these days. You know, everybody's on their A game. And if, you know, if you're off half a percent, if less than that, then you're eating alive. So you got to make sure you're on your A game every race you go to and be, and if not, you'll be in the back.
Cole, the rest, like the entire season thus far, it seems like every team has got a little bit of a trend, and you either unload good, you know, when you're on a roll like the way that you are. Are you unloading good every single race? Are you unloading great every single race, or do you guys have to really work on it when you get to the track?
No, we're really good at unloading with what we race. So, you know, we tested a couple weeks ago for the CAT 250, but I hate testing. So, you know, I usually unload race day, and that's my test day. So we usually unload where I'm going to race, and then I'll start playing with some stuff just to see if you can find just that extra tenth or extra, you know, just that little bit of comfort. So, you know, we unloaded where I raced. You know, we may have taken a pack road here or just changed one little thing, but we unloaded where we want to be, and we're usually pretty consistent week after week with that. You know, that's what we like to do.
Yeah, and it's tough, right? You do any kind of testing, and normally it's taking place, you know, chances are in the heat of the day, you're out there, you're, you know, busting off great laps, and lo and behold, you get up to race day, you feel great, you know your car is fast, you pull it out of the trailer, and damn, the weather changed, it's cooler, it's wet, it's whatever. And the car isn't going to feel the same when the lights come on. So it's got to be different. Somewhat testing sometimes can be a huge waste.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. We, you know, usually testing, you go there, you try to be the fastest car. You don't learn anything. And, you know, that's what I've always found, especially on, like, IWK test week. It's whoever can get to the top of the board. You're not learning anything. So, you know, I've tested once this year, actually. You know, I just do all my stuff race day. That's when it counts. That's when you're racing. So, you know, look at the weather changes, everything, the rain, what they put on the racetrack before race day. I mean, if you're testing on a green racetrack, chances are when they put the tack down, it's going to be a little bit tighter and faster. So what's the point of wasting your time wasting tires?
Yeah, exactly. Tires and fuel, the two most expensive parts after you've got the race car. That's usually what goes out the window through testing. But, man, we got the Tourmont CAT 250 coming up this weekend, coming up at a racetrack you've done a ton of winning at. Scotia Speed World, what's the thoughts heading into this extended distance 250?
You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, the last couple of years we've had pretty good success there. So hopefully we keep that going. But, you know, I know there'll be a lot of tough guys. You know, Blankhorn's on he's getting back to his A game, and Gosby and Sean Turbo, and, you know, a number of guys, Fleming, he'll be there, Chisholm, Brayden Langell, my brother, he's starting to get back on track. So, you know, Cassius Clark's coming, so, you know, they'll be on their A game. So you can't really say what's going to happen because what you see, like what we said earlier, the track's going to be different. Everybody's getting their A game going. So, you know, we'll see what happens on race day. And, you know, I got my Lucky Charm, Tom Roberts, is coming down with the Kawiki Driver Development Program. So hopefully he'll give us some luck and we'll get another victory.
Yeah, well, some luck, and I know you guys work awful hard for every one of those checkered flags. It's a stark contrast, right? You race at Scotia Speed World. I believe we got four races at that track. We've got two 150s, we got a 250, and we got a 200 that take place at Scotia. All four of those races, other than the two 150s, you got to attack them in different ways, don't you?
Yeah, you know, with the 250s, I find them actually easier than the 150s because you get new tires at lot 125, so you can pretty well do whatever you want the whole race. I mean, maybe later on in the race, you'll have to save your tires a little bit, but the first little bit, you can kind of do whatever you want because you're on four new tires, and you know you're getting new tires halfway and fuel, so you know, you could probably be a little bit more aggressive at the start, maybe a little bit more conservative in the end. But, you know, I like the longer races. It separates the men from the boys, and, you know, it just makes for good racing.
Well, we're going to see a good race this coming weekend, I can guarantee it. When do you roll in there? Are you going to go in Friday night? I can imagine the Butcher campground to be set up.
Yeah, I think they're going to roll on Thursday and have everything set up, and I'll come in Friday afternoon to help Shelby with the Legend car, and then we'll be ready to go Saturday morning when gates open, go through track and get some practice done and put on a great show for the fans.
Absolutely. Everybody's in for a good one. It will be broadcast live on racetimeradio.com worldwide. If you can't make it to the Cat 250, and trust me when I say you got to go to that race, it'll blow your mind. But if you absolutely can't make it, at least you can count on live coverage, flag to flag, including qualifying and everything. Cole, one quick note here. That Legend car, you mentioned it, getting it ready for Shelby. You still love those Legend cars. Do you still get behind the wheel?
I haven't been behind one since last year. It was Braden Langell's car, last race of the year. But, you know, I've always loved Legend cars. They're really great to drive. They make a great racer. They're more aggressive to drive than a super late model, so it kind of gets you ready to go for the bigger cars and the bigger motor because of the shorter wheelbase and everything. You gain more car control, and you know, I think that helped me a lot in my steps of moving up to the bigger cars. And I know Jared and Braden and Dylan and all those guys, I know they're happy they all went through that step. So you know, you can never complain about a good Legend car. They were fun to drive, and they put on just as good a show as everything else.
And I think back to our beginning stages when we got out to Scotia Speed World and Riverside and watching the Legend cars, and it was you, Cole Butcher, and Dylan Blankhorn, and Corey Hall, and all the guys, you know, that we see today in the Pro Stock Tour. You guys all got your start in that. They got to be twitchy, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're a handful. You know, I say I get more tired in one of those than this big car, but you know, they're fun to drive. They're a good workout. They're good to keep your reflexes fast because you're always moving that steering wheel because of the wheelbase and the horsepower. But you know, I love them, and you know, I wish I could race them a little bit more. But you can only do so much in a certain period of time.
Well, if you win the big race at Jucasa, you can get a $50,000 check, and then you can just call Inex up and just order one.
Just order
yeah,
one.
That's right.
Yeah. That's all you
got
to do.
Trust me, he's got a few of them in the shop already. Cole, the question I had for you just went straight out from one side of my
head
to
the
other.
That was my fault, by the way.
Yeah, that's okay.
I feel a little bad, but it's kind of funny to watch you struggle now.
I know what it was. Cole, the car. What car are you going to use for the Tarmac Cat 250?
I can't tell you. I mean, after what happened last night, I don't know. My mind was set on one car, and now I don't know what to do.
They're both good, but one's got to work better than the other.
I thought the same thing until last night.
Well, you should have painted them both the exact same. I know they look similar, but you should have painted them exactly the same, and then you could have brought both and just chose. Yeah, all you got to do is swap the transponder over.
Yeah, the only thing that's different is the way the seats look.
And you know that your brother Jarrett's going to be grabbing one of them.
Yeah, I was talking about that yesterday. I said, you might want to take one of my cars that you're struggling, but I don't know if I'm 100% comfortable with that yet. So,
throw a little more salt on it, will you?
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Cole, good luck in the race on the weekend. You got your work cut out for you, buddy. I know everybody wants to win that Tarmac Cat 250. It's going to be one of those shows nobody's going to want to miss.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me tonight. We'll see Thursday or Friday.
Absolutely. That's Cole Butcher, driver of the number 53 for Atlantic Tilt Load. And he's got a lot of great sponsorship on his car.
He does.
And he's part of that Alan Kowicki Driver Development Program. And I'll tell you what, he lights the lamp. He's going to do good in that deal.
Oh, he is for sure. And you know, when you look at the list of names that you know are also in the Kowicki 7 there, mm-hmm. there's some cool up and coming names, and he's got to be right at the top of the heap though on the Victory Lane column. He's been in there quite a bit this year, and he's definitely getting his fair share of checkered flags, and I have a feeling there's going to be a few more to come this year, and I know that there's a couple of names that really want to be back in Victory Lane, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the 250. But Cole Butcher is, you know, he's just a great kid, and you know, we've talked to him quite a few times now, obviously after every win, and then we previewed him at the beginning of the year, but you know, you couldn't ask for a nicer family from the Butchers.
Unreal. Great family. They do a lot of good, not only in the sport, exactly. But outside the sport, yep. With Make-A-Wish.
Philanthropy and everything.
Ended up raising something like $130,000 this year for Children's Make-A-Wish. And,
yeah, so cool.
Ann Butcher and Cole's dad, just they're hard on it. They they open up, and they're amazing. Yep. Amazing for the sport as well. But we're going to hit our final break and then open the phone lines. It's you till the top of the hour here tonight on Racetime Radio. So get that thinking cap on. Let's talk. 888-572-2384. I'll give it to you again. 888-572-2384 is the hotline number. Open phone lines. And yes, you, Larry, driving that big rig. I know you're listening in, buddy. We'll catch you on the other side of the break.
Hey, race fans. This is Chris Rabby, driver of the C&B Enterprise, number 01 TO Pro Car, listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Join us Saturday, August 11th
at 5 p.m. Eastern.
It's the 19th annual
Tourmont Cat
250 Under the Lights at Scotia Speed World in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
And Dylan Blankhorn is pulling out all the stops. There's no saving anything anymore.
Featuring the stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
I think this water said, show me what you got. We're seeing it now.
The claws will come out for the Tourmont Cat 250. It's live, flag-to-flag coverage worldwide at racetimeradio.com.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the year, the Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, featuring the first ever NASCAR playoff race north of the border and a weekend of off-track fun you won't want to miss. Come for the day or camp for the weekend. The Chevrolet Silverado 250, August 24th to 26th. Tickets and info at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your Victory Lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track
Live,
coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
Baseball.
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 Get out of here, gone!
fire every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Junior, let's talk here a little bit about the NASCAR Pinty Series, and how about Cole Powell? I thought I had Cole sort of semi-lined up there when I looked at my Twitter feed.
Yep.
And lo and behold, it was Cole Pearn that had tweeted. So it wasn't Cole Powell. I thought it was Cole. All I seen was Cole. But
yeah,
it was Pearn.
For sure.
Not Powell. But he got his first NASCAR win, and so did Donald Teish. Same night, part of the Twin 125s. At Auto Clearing, not Auto Clearing anymore, Wyatt Group.
Yeah, Wyatt Group.
What was it like?
It was a great show. Definitely a difficult one for us with Andrew Ranger. We were fast in practice. We were fast in qualifying. Fast for the first five laps of the race, and then all hell broke loose, and we were garbage. I didn't get a chance to watch it a whole lot, obviously, from the spotter stand. You're not really watching what's going on other than watching for smoke or spinning or, other than that.
Watching your car.
Yeah, and, just looking back at the race itself, there was the first one with Donald Teige. It was a very calm, cool, and collected race. Now, that being said, Adam Martin ended up getting some damage, and Brett, the 46 car, Brett Taylor, ended up getting a little bit of damage as well in that race. But the race itself was very tame. The second one was a barn burner, and like it's supposed to be. Those guys were digging up front the entire race. The 47 had great speed. The 3 car had great speed. The 17 as well. It was an absolutely awesome race. And to see Cole Powell get his first win, it was a very popular win. Not only in the fans loved it. But it was also a popular win for the drivers and the teams as well. It was cool to see, both of them, Donald Teige and Cole Powell, get their wins. The garage area was electric after Donald won. We were pitted right beside the 24, and I would say every crew chief and every driver in the garage came down and congratulated him. And then I imagine the same thing with Cole Powell.
He
after
was a
that.
Staple. Donald Teige was a staple in the ATC series, right?
ACT series.
He was a staple. I think back, and it was Speed Weeks. I can't remember what year, but it was a long time ago.
Yep.
When the ACT series came in.
Correct.
Tom Curley brought his traveling show through New Smyrna Speedway. And that was the first time I met Donald.
Yep.
And there was a lot of, it was a good split, cars from, Canada and cars from the U.S.
Vermont. And,
Maine. Did they put on a show down there.
Yep.
Donald Teige, he's the real deal. He got a start in the 90 Xfinity car just before that race, right?
Yeah, correct. At Iowa Speedway.
Is he at Iowa, too?
I don't think
we
it was
had
Iowa.
Three of them?
No, it wasn't Iowa. It was
no,
the race
Gateway,
prior to
it?
That. Gateway, yeah.
Gateway, yeah.
But anyways, it was an awesome showing for Donald. And really, it was long overdue. He's been, top four every time he's unloaded, at an oval, for sure. And everybody thought he was going to win a couple last year. And there's been a couple times already this year where, they had the speed to win. It's just something, had taken them out or bad strategy or something would take him out. But Cole Powell, really, when you look at the three team, the same, he's had the opportunity to win a couple.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
And he went out there and did it.
Yeah, good for him. Your next Pinty's race.
This weekend.
This weekend?
This coming weekend, yeah. We're heading to Trois-Rivières.
Oh, really?
Yeah, heading to Three Rivers.
That's always such a good race.
Heading to Three Rivers and
get some Montreal smoked meat.
They got
a Midway out there.
City, yep.
It's the coolest spot.
Yep.
Dominic does a great job with that race.
They do. And, everybody's excited to get there.
Yeah, I bet. So when will you leave then? You'll leave like Thursday, Friday?
No, I can't. My boss is on me about leaving for racing all the time.
Oh, I gotcha.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ride with Donald Reinhart, and I'm going to drive down. I'm going to leave at about 3 o'clock Friday and jump in Donald's truck down in Toronto, and we're going to drive over together. So, it's about a 7-hour drive from door to door. So,
seven, a lot longer than that.
No, it's about seven. It only took us 10.5 to get to Chaudière, and that's way further east.
Yeah.
So, and Three Rivers is just on the other side of the border, really, like when you look at it.
Yeah, it's the other side of Montreal, right?
It's just, that's the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Three Rivers is kind of north.
Gotcha.
It's not that
I've been
bad.
To it. Yeah. I've been to it.
Yeah,
but
it's not that bad. It's about 7 hours from Toronto.
We flew to Montreal, and then I rented a car and drove to Three Rivers.
Yeah, we've got quite a few guys on our team that are going to fly over on Saturday morning. So,
But
I have to be there for practice just to be in the spotter stand, just to be a warm body. I wish you could see more at that place but it's road course racing. They don't need a spotter.
I can remember one year. I can't remember which one it was, but man, they had a deluge of rain come down.
Yeah, they flooded the garage area.
It into Three Rivers. There was a fourth river that day, and man, were those guys, did they get soaked?
I remember that. They flooded the garage area. There was tires floating down the
I think where Ranger, the garage area is. Ranger won that race, too, if I remember correct.
He's won a lot of them.
It was either Ranger or Tags won that particular day.
Yep.
And wasn't it Alex Labbé back in the day? That's the racetrack that he did the big barrel roll.
No, that wasn't Labbé. It was in one of Jacome's cars, but it wasn't Labbé that
I
did the barrel
it was.
Roll.
No,
it wasn't Labbé.
Yeah, because then we seen him at Riverside, like the next race to us.
It was the 72 car.
72.
Yeah, but it wasn't Labbé in behind the wheel.
Oh, I think it was.
No, I think it was somebody else.
You think?
Yeah,
I think it was Labbé. We'll look it up. We'll check it.
But
we got a lot of big races coming up. How about CTMP? Got to mention it again. We've got tickets, and we're going to start giving them away next week here on the show. And follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, because I'm going to give away some tickets that way as well. Super fan tickets for the full weekend at CTMP for the Silverado 250 weekend, including the NASCAR Pindy Series. You'll get the NASCAR Camping Road Truck Series race, all of the action. We got some tickets that we're going to give away through Racetime Radio. We're going to do some on the show, and then, of course, through social media. We're going to give some away that way as well, and just like we do every year with the Silverado 250 weekend. If you haven't got your tickets yet for that race, come on, man. Get on your horse. Get those tickets. You don't want to miss Canada's Ultimate NASCAR Weekend. It is totally off the hook. I've seen it every year. It's incredible.
That truck race weekend. Yeah, it is. It's a great race. I would suggest if you have a camper, if you have a camper trailer, a motorhome, a tent trailer, a tent, I don't care. And you like tent, you like camping, you like getting out there and camping. That is a place where you need to attend. It is just they've got family-friendly camping zones. They've got the party zones. They've got some just absolutely cool venue stuff that happens during the weekend there. You see some of the coolest race cars in the country as well. You see some great racing in the truck series. They come in. They do a great job. They've got the video screens and everything that you see at a cup track. You've got it at CTMP.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just an overall great event.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook. But, Junior, that's going to do it for you and I tonight in the studio. Sure hope you enjoyed the show. And sure hope you can join us next week here on Racetime Radio. The Turbo Cat 250 coming up live on Racetime Radio next Saturday. Don't miss it. Tune in early and catch some of the pre-race coverage. Jerry Paxton, Josh Paxton, Tim Terry, along with Brad Mann, will take you all the way through the weekend. It'll be off the hook. But that's going to do it for us. Have yourself a great week, everybody, and we'll catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Hey.